Well, hello again. It's time with T and IMT. With a little tea in my cup, guys, come on in. Let's get the numbers. You can reach us at 919-768-2486. That's 919-768-2486. You can also give us a call if there's any concern with domestic violence at 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233. You can also text that to 433-733. That's 433-733. Guys, I hope you had a great week. We're coming upon the weekend. And I did a segment last week on the religious narcissist. And I'm not sure how I wanted to go with it, but I did want to continue on with that particular segment. Just to kind of sum it all up. But the religious narcissist is no different than the regular narcissist, except that they hide behind a title. They hide behind a persona that's different than a regular narcissist because it's considered holy. And it kind of gets more followers or more people fooled than just a regular narcissist. A regular narcissist can be janitors or a teacher, but a religious narcissist is usually a deacon or pastor or just someone well known in the church and, you know, the church community. But if they are not popular, they can still kind of go under the radar by using the Bible against people, even if it's just in their household. A lot of times they just want the control and they want the instant respect without earning it. In other words, people will respect the title and assume that you're a minister with great morals, or assume that you're a deacon with morals. So I want to get back on track with the narcissist being, you know, just same as the regular narcissist, just that they hide behind the cloth. And like I said, a lot of times with the community of the church, these are their flying monkeys. And these are people that they have snowed over. And some of them are narcissists as well. So they are not all snowed over. They're just all kind of work in unison to keep a cult-like culture going on where the people that are in the church fear, you know, telling somebody something about somebody that's revered there. Like, okay, you can't talk against the pastor, you can't talk against the deacon, no matter what they've done, said, done, or whatever. And it's worse than in old age black communities and households where what goes on in this house stays in this house. And it didn't just start in the house, it started, you know, probably in slavery too, keeping a lot of secrets. But also, you know, like I said, it came to the household, and it's also reinforced in church and the community. So you're a snitch if you tell that you saw a murder, you saw somebody getting killed. Or we don't want to get off on that tangent because I talked about that already. The community, cult-like community in the black families and church. So what I wanted to say in general was that if you're faced with a narcissist in the church, you're going to have to change churches. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will not get out of that situation without seriously changing everything, relocating, maybe getting a job that's not affiliated with anybody that's, you know, near the church or in the church, and just change your whole life if you really want to get out of all of those situations, because they designed it. It's by design that you probably work in the church or for someone in the church. It's by design that you hold an outside, you know, job, but it's like I said, it's somehow connected to the church. but your main job is the church, that's how you know you're in a cult situation. And your children have to follow certain standards as well. And nobody can come to your home that does certain things, and they're monitored and watched quite frequently. Or let's just say all the time. If they're in your house, they're being monitored. If they're not in your house, then, you know, they're asked a lot of questions so that they won't allow their kids in the presence of certain things. And, you know, just things that's going to happen in life in general. And I get parenting and parental guidance and all that, but I'm talking about overbearing protection. I'm talking about not letting your kids be kids, not letting them breathe for a second, constantly throwing the Bible and scripture verses at them with the barbaric ministering style, as they used to say, primitive speaking, preaching styles, that's yelling and speaking loudly and telling people they're damned to hell for, I don't know, eating a pork chop sandwich. And I'm not making light of the scriptures. I'm just saying that this is how serious this goes. When a narcissist is reinforcing things, all these things apply to you, but not to them. Almost like the mother in the old days used to say, you know, it hurts me to beat you, but, you know I did the same thing, but you do as I say, but not as I do. So that's what a narcissist feels, that the rules are for you. They're not, they don't abide by rules. But what I wanted to kind of squeeze in here was another part of the cult-like behavior that happens, not only just in the church, but in the family as well, where we call it the mean girl syndrome now. These are narcissists as well. And it starts with the mothers being, the narcissistic mothers being in competition with their daughters. And then they put their daughters in competition with each other. This type of behavior goes on into your schools. And the girls are in competition at school. The pretty girl, the fat girl, the smart girl, the talented girl. You know, they name all different types of things to compare that aren't important. They're very superficial things that, okay, we're different is what I hear, and that's okay. So yeah, they don't embrace differences. They use these differences against people, and if they find that any one of these differences is your Achilles heel, they keep stabbing it and poking at it, because they want, they're insecure people and they want company. Misery loves company. They want you to be insecure as well, so they attempt to triangulate you with other siblings, cousins, friends that you might have, just to say, well, you know, you're cute, but this person's beautiful. Well, you're smart, but this person is a genius. Well, I mean, you're cute for your height, but this tall girl could be a model. So the constant comparing is what happens. And so what happens internally is these kids fight. Siblings have internal wars that they didn't start themselves, but they're in the midst of it because of a triangulation of a mother who has the narcissistic mean girl syndrome. Someone has to pay. Someone can be cute and popular. The other people can pick up our books, carry them, our lunch trays, you know, what have you. But they can't be popular because I've already picked the popular crew and you're not in it. So yeah, that type of thing. And it carries on to adulthood, so these people are in constant competition, secretly, however. You see, And they're never in competition, like, outwardly, because they're insecure. So secretly, they're trying to be better than you. And it often doesn't work. And then they get angry with you because they were in competition and you didn't even know about it and you're still winning. That's biblical all day, folks. That's the Cain killed Abel syndrome. You know, God gave everybody something. If you're not using it, okay, bury your talent. But if I'm using mine, it's not for you to look over at mine and say, boy, she's really making that look good. Or, boy, she's really using her talent. I haven't used mine. That type of thing has nothing to do with me. You know, you're free to do nothing with your talent or everything in the world. And it's not a competition. The competition that you want to worry about is within the mirror that you look in every day. That person looking back at you is your competition. You need to be better than that person was yesterday. And that's it. Anything else is toxic, I promise you. Growing up, I didn't care about the things that a lot of people my age cared about. Or especially girls. I mean, I didn't care about certain things. And I just didn't do it. I mean, luckily, you know, it didn't affect me to not be super prissy, try to be super popular and all that. I didn't care about any of that. But I still was pretty popular. I was still pretty... all the other stuff that people care about, I was that without caring. Guys, we're getting to a close because, you know, I only talk about 15 minutes on these episodes. But I did want to say that, you know, if you're a narcissist, if you're notice that you are under the thumb of a narcissist, seek help. The narcissist usually won't seek help. It's hard to explain to a person who's never really had the insight to understand, or even the experience to understand a narcissist. It's hard. It's very difficult to explain that to a person. But just imagine.
Boss comes around and, you know, already knows that you've done a lot of the work, they will somehow make it about them. Just be vigilant. If you know of a narcissist, or if you are under the thumb of a narcissist, you know, it's not that simple. It's not always just annoying. Sometimes these narcissists are very dangerous people. Yeah, I mean, you might not look at it that way, but you can lose a job, you can lose your life, you can lose friends, important friends, you can lose your name, you can lose your good name, and your identity. They slander people, they do a lot of things, but this is my warning to you, if you're familiar with because their whole goal is to get you to despise people in the church and act out in a way that is ungodly. They know the Bible. Don't let that fool you. They know it front and back, and they can even use it, the word in context, out of context. They can use it in context. They can use it to apply it to real life. And you would think, my God, and some of them even have spiritual gifts from when they were saved or they were living right, because God freely gives all these gifts. Even like the devil has talents and gifts and powers. So what I'm saying is, don't be fooled by that. The Bible speaks to test the truth. The Bible speaks to test the fruit by the fruit. So if you test the fruit, you will learn that these people are actors. Not unlike, not any different from the actors you see on TV, right? But also people like the president and the vice president and, you know, other government officials, people warning you of things. Sometimes it's sad to say, if they say go right, you should go left. If they say don't worry, you should worry. If they say it's raining outside, hey, it's probably sunshiny. Because you really can't believe what they say. And seeing is believing sometimes, but it's not always. As I said, these are people, they're good actors and actresses. And they'll go all out just to prove a point that's not even a fact. Guys, I want to go ahead and close it out today. Past my 15 minutes, and we're moving up into 17 minutes, but I did want to just tell you guys, you're not alone. If you have narcissists in your life, you feel like you have an abuse cycle going on in your life, whether it's verbal, mental, emotional, physical, give us a call, 919-768-2486, or you can email Tanya Coco at hotmail.com. That's TonyaCoco at gmail.com. Also, Latonya Durham at hotmail.com. That's LatonyaDurham at AOL.com. Guys, that's our time for now. And till next time. Thank you.